Amen. We have people downstairs we want to say hello to, downstairs in the basement, and people in the lobby and whatever other rooms are in. We acknowledge that you're there and pray that God would speak to you very clearly. Hey, real quick, let's grab the hand of the person next to you. It'll only be a minute. I did this the other three services, and it was like 5 minutes later, they're sitting there all sweating and going, pray, please, this is getting yucky. Obviously, we've had a major thing happen Tuesday in this country, and there are many people wondering. I've been not struggling, but praying all week, thinking all week what I'm going to say today. And I probably wouldn't do what I'm doing right now. We all have to, and I want to encourage all of you to make a decision today that your life is never going to be the same. That don't let the world make that decision for you. You make that decision. One of the questions that many people are wondering, is this the end of the world or going to be the end of the world? And I will tell you what the Bible says, because I don't have an opinion that's worth listening to. It says that, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels, but my Father only. So no one knows if it's the end of the world. But what I will tell you, the world that you knew last week, it's over. But you can make a decision what that means. In other words, that's not necessarily a bad thing. How you saw God and how you saw the world last week is not necessarily the way you always want to see it. So you can make a decision today that, yes, the world has changed, but it's going to be on me and God's terms. And I want to pray today that we make that decision right now, not at the end of the service, right now. That you're even going to hear the sermon different. Because you're going to hear the sermon as something you're going to do, not something you might do, not something to entertain you, but something that you are saying, Lord, speak to me to change me. You make that decision. Every time you read the Bible, every time you pray, I know your hands are probably getting sweaty, so let me get to the... So we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the people in New York. We're going to pray for the people in Washington. We're going to pray for all the people, all the stuff that's going to get unleashed worldwide that is going to be unknown. But most of all, we're going to pray that we would change and that our world would change, our perspective would change. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you that we were able to wake up today. And Lord, I know many people have come to church today throughout the whole day, scared, fearful, wondering what's going to happen, shaken, angry, mad, want revenge. You say vengeance is yours. If you decide to choose to use the government to fight, so be it. We support that. But Lord, the most important thing we can do, the most important thing we can do is to be faithful to your word. And Lord, I pray, as I do every week and every day, that the way we see life would change. That the way we saw the world and our life and our relationship with you yesterday would not be the way we see it today. I pray that people in this room, in the lobby, downstairs, in all the overflow rooms, Casa Real, that they would make a commitment today to be committed once and for all. That they would be committed to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior once and for all. If you're sitting in your seat right now, you know you're not a Christian and you want Christ to forgive you, pray this prayer with me right now in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong, that it will kill me and send me to hell. Dear God, I don't want to go to hell. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead for my sin. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born again. Thank you, Jesus. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, let go of the hand, one of the hands you're holding on to, and raise your hand up in the air. We want to see you. God bless 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 you. Good. You can put your hands down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you for the people in the lobby. We see you also. God bless you. Lord, thank you. Now we can listen to the sermon with peace. You don't have to worry. You're going to heaven. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Bibles. Let's see your Bibles. Word. Let's see your bulletins. Bulletins. See your pens. Pens. See your Bibles. Word. Bulletin. Turn to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah. Jonah, Jonah, Jonah. Jesus. It's for, oh. Jonah 3. Let me just go over a few questions. One, is it the end of the world? No one knows. We will be dibbling and dabbling in end times, Bible studies on end times and the end of the world, Antichrist, all that kind of stuff. I was going to do a series on that next fall, but seems like God's timetable was different than mine. So I will respond accordingly as the months go by before the end of the year, hopefully. What should our response be? I'm going to New York, hopefully, this week, hopefully. And, you know, we can maybe take an offering for something specific once I find out what that's going to be. Instead of just putting it into the big pot, if we could find some specific people to help, and maybe there's other ways to help them. The other thing is you can give blood here. You can prepare to be used here. Crisis probably will come here. We need to be ready for that and not be shocked when it happens. Okay, so we're going to consistently and slowly put together a crisis response team for the church and get some counsel on how to do that. But I would ask you to pray about being a part of that, whatever that means. And different people have different roles. Some of you are EMTs and have all this stuff. But we need to train people in CPR, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Storing food, whatever. But one of the things that we're going to, one of the ways we're going to respond, and I was going to do this anyway before the bombing, is I was going to put on the screen and show you what our 10-year goal is. And the reason I wanted to show you this is so we would all know why we're here. You know, our bulletin says save, equip, send. Okay, why? Well, it says in the Bible to do that. Okay, but why? This one sentence is going to bring it all into focus. This is why we exist. Let's put it up there. Boom. By the year 2012, the Rock Church will evangelize every non-believer in San Diego. Every non-believer. Now, in 10 years, which is basically 10 years in 3 months, in 10 years, there's going to be 3.7 million people in San Diego. Between now and then, we are going to evangelize all of them. Now, I know many of you probably think, man, that's impossible. Don't think that. Don't let that thought come into your mind. Nothing's impossible with God. I can go on TV tomorrow. Okay? Boom. You can go on TV tomorrow. Boom, boom. That's going to be fun. I want you to start praying about how you're going to help us do that and how you're not going to prevent us from doing this by, I don't know, that's never going to happen. What you think he is. Don't say that. We're going to work with other churches. We're going to do a bunch of stuff, and God's going to speak to you. When I was in a restaurant a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to someone from the church, and the waiter was from this church, and he happened to be leaning over doing something, you know, giving me bread, or I don't know what he was doing, but he was leaning over right in front of me as I said that to the person that I was talking to. And he went, "That's so rad!" He went and got some more bread, and he was like, "Man, that's," he was fired up. He was fired up. Because all he has to think about is his world. All you got to think about is your world. That's it. You don't got to think about, you know, don't stop thinking about all that. Just think about your world, your job, your class, your street, your neighbors, your coworkers, the people, whatever. Just the few people you know. That's it. That's it. But you got 4, 5, 6, 7,000 people, 10, 15, 20,000 people doing that. Boom, 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 boom. And then you start getting in the media. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. Now, another statistic. This statistic is not true anymore because it was the poll was taken before Tuesday. One out of every four unchurched people will go to church if invited by a friend. Now, that is taken by Barna Research. They're Christians. They do polls and da-da-da. That doesn't apply anymore. I would believe it's 2 to 3 out of 4 would go to church. Imagine if you went home and put a flyer out on your block and said, I'm going to have a prayer meeting at my house. Who's going to come? A whole lot of people. Can I come to your prayer meeting? Yeah, come on in. I just don't know what's going to happen. It's my family, my retirement, and my job. You know what they're saying? Please save me. Please tell me the gospel. That's what they're saying. And we're going, well, God bless you. Ugh, you missed it. I'm getting on a plane Thursday, right? And if everything goes right. And when I get on a plane, you know how you get on a plane and go, okay, everyone take a seat, you're on flight so-and-so, and, you know, buckle your seatbelt, blah, 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 blah. You know how they do that? They got a little phone up, and it's a little intercom. I'm praying. I'm going to do this. I'm praying it works. I'm going to ask the stewardess. I got ID. I'm not a lunatic. Well, I'm a lunatic. with credentials. I got my ordination card. I got my NFLPA card. I got my license. I got my, my Red Cross card. Hey, I'm legit. All I want to do is pray for everybody. Would you mind doing that? That girlfriend will be like, please. I mean, hopefully. And while I'm on the microphone, we're just going to pray for the flight. Oh, thank you, God. Please pray for this flight. There'll be some scared hombres on that plane, boy. If anybody is not saved right now, and you want to make sure that if anything happens, you're okay. Let's think about it. Let's say something happens, God forbid, and they got saved. Imagine that. And they were in heaven. I mean, we're laughing now. And how did you get saved? Some crazy preacher. He prayed before. Where's he at? He jumped out. He had a parachute. What's that big hump on your back? Oh, just a little insurance policy. My point is this. I beg you. Listen, I'm getting on my knees. Can the cameraman, can you follow me now? I'm getting on my knees. Show my knees now. My knees. There you go. There, right there. There you go. See that? I'm begging you this week before you get back here next Sunday that you share the gospel with somebody. Please do that. Just see what happens. Go up to somebody and say, do you want to get saved? Would you like to go to heaven or hell? Are you scared about dying? Say it. See what happens. Someone you see every day. See what happens. Okay. Jonah chapter 3. This has very much to do with what I'm talking about. Last week, we talked about Jonah being called to go preach to Nineveh, which would be the equivalent of one of you being called to go preach to Osama bin Laden. Now you can relate. Now you can relate to Jonah's plight. He didn't want the Ninevites to get saved because it was like the Afghanis, or it was like the Israelis preaching hope to Palestinians. Same thing. So he doesn't want to go. And he goes this way. We talked about the cost of running from the call of God. God sent a storm. They threw him in the ocean or in the sea. A sea dog shark, big shark, came and swallowed him. These sharks have been found with human bodies whole in their stomach in modern day. It's real. Happens. This supposedly that was the animal. It was a fish. Swallowed him. Vomited on the earth. Look what it says in verse 10 of chapter 2, the last verse of chapter 2. Very funny. Hilarious to me. It says, the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah. That's funny. Fish just swimming around. And God said, vomit. And he took his fin. I don't know how he did it. And he hurled him. Now Jonah's puked out on the thing. And God said, you ready to do what I want you to do? Okay, look what he says first. How many of y'all been puked out before? Just like, I mean, I've been, you're trying to do something, God just smacks you and gets you back to do what you want, what he wants you to do. Go ahead, raise you. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you've been puked out. Okay. Why did he run? When God calls you to something, he invites you to something. He invites you to salvation. He invites you to minister for him. He invites you to serve his ministry. He invites you to walk with him. Why don't you do it? Last week we talked about the cost of not doing it. Tonight I want to talk about why you don't do it. There are reasons. You make a conscious decision. No, God. Why? Why? Well, we're going to look at it. Look what it says. Verse 1, chapter 3, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, just like I said the first time, that great city, and preach to it the message I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3-day journey in extent. It was about 60 miles around. It had it took you about 20 miles a day, 3 days walking around. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, what was so hard about that? Why didn't he want to go? Well, one reason that we don't obey God when he calls us, and he's called all of us in here to do something. First get saved, then to serve him somewhere. He's called all of y'all out in TV land to do something. Do something. Why don't you do it? Well, one, sometimes we don't do it because we fear it won't come true. I don't want to waste my time. I'm not going to go ask somebody this week if they want to get saved. I don't know what he's talking about. I ain't asked nobody because my friends, he don't know my friends. My friends are not going to listen to the gospel. They're mad. They want to kill people. You have faith. Where's your faith? You don't believe that God is going to come through for you in what he calls you to do. You believe that if he calls you to do something and you go do it, you are going to fail. Let me define failure in the kingdom of God. Failure is simply disobedience. That's it. If I go preach every day and nobody gets saved, I have not failed. If I don't preach and God told me to preach, I have failed. The results of what happened is not up to me, it's not up to you. All you can do is obey. So how people respond has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them and God. They don't reject you, they reject God. So one of the reasons we do it is because we are fearful it won't come true. The key thing is that we don't pray and pay. Write that down. Write pray and right underneath the word pay. Pay is pray without the R. That has no meaning at all. It's not like, wow, that's deep. It wasn't really meant to be deep. It was really meant to be nothing. Pray is pay without the R, has no significance at all. The reason I say it, though, is so you remember, because tomorrow, you know what you're going to say? Pray is pay was pray without R. That's what you're going to say. You're going to remember that. That's why I said it. Here's what I want you to remember it, because I want you to, and here's what I challenge you to do, pray every day for God's wisdom, counsel, pray for his, for something to happen, and then pay attention to what he does. That's what pay is. Ha, I tricked you, didn't I? I was talking about your money. No, pray and pay attention to what he does. In other words, some of y'all, dear God, I pray that the all the terrorists will be caught by tomorrow. Oh, it didn't happen. Oh, man, God's not faithful. No. Dear God, I pray that whatever you're working out with this whole crisis situation, that you would be honored and glorified. That may take God 5 years. Dear God, I pray my cousin would be saved. That may take 6 years. Dear God, I pray that this neighborhood would be transformed, drug dealers kicked out. That may take 10 years. But you wait on God. Dear God, I pray you use me in a mighty way. That may take 20 years. You watch and you pay attention. What is God doing? Watch him every day. It is so fun watching God work. God is not on your timetable. He's not on mine. God got plenty of time. God doesn't live in within time. He don't even have a watch. He don't have a watch. Time is from here to here, the beginning of time to the end of time. God lives outside of time. 1,000 years is like one day to God. It's not he. He ain't on your timetable. He can watch you die. He'd be like this. You could die. Go get a hamburger, in and out, come back. You're dead. D-E-D, dead. And he says, and I hope this would happen. Miles, go pray for him. I never pray for anybody that rose from the dead. And go pray for you, and you get up. God can do that. Therefore, he's not on your timetable. You think your rent's run out, your money's run out, your bank account, he can do anything he wants. He's God. You need to pray and pay attention to what God's doing instead of start saying, he's not going to do this, he's not going to do this, he's not going to do this. No, another reason why people don't pray and don't follow the will of God, the call of God, is because it's not easy enough in your mind. It's not easy enough. Bring your Bible to church. Oh, man. I can't carry it. It's so heavy. So bulky. Where am I going to put it? And he wants us to bring a pen. Where am I going to put a pen? I mean, you know, it messes up my Bible. I don't want to put it in my shirt. You know, I'm trying to look all smooth and everything. I'll just remember what he says. Get up every day and pray. Pray every day? Oh, man. He don't understand. I got to get my sleep. Then I got to go to work. Then I got to come home and unwind. I have a couple of beers, get in the jacuzzi, watch some TV. I can't be being praying. And I'm not condoning drinking beer at all by saying that. But then I got to go to bed. I don't have time. It's too much of an inconvenience for me to be godly. Too much of an inconvenience. One of the reasons why you don't do it. You think it's hard, difficult. I'll tell you something. When I go ask that stewardess about doing the phone thing, I'm going to be nervous. I'll tell you that now. I'm going to be thinking about the whole way to the airport. I'm going to be thinking about the whole way to the plane. I'm going to be looking at all of which one I'm going to get, which one I think is going to be easiest to, you know, to persuade. I'm going to be praying, when am I going to go up there? How, you know, are they going to think I'm a terrorist? Are they going to jump me? Now, you know, handcuff. What are they going to do? Is this not like, oh, just no big deal? But you know what? If God leads me to do it, even if she says no, my faith is going to grow. She says no, it doesn't mean I failed. It means God said, I mean, I could. You're crazy. I got some more stuff for you to tell you to do. You know, when you have little kids and most of y'all are young, you're going to dare your kids to do stuff. You will. I mean, my father, we had, my brothers and I were real athletic, so he used to dare us to do stuff just to see, not dangerous, but, and you just dare your kids, go over there and do this. Like even my daughter, my oldest daughter is real bold. I'll ask her to go over and talk to people. She doesn't know. Like we were going to try to get in a parking space one day at a parking lot, and this guy wouldn't leave. He just, you know, people sit in the car running, and they won't get out the space. And you're like, can you wait over there so I can park and go about my business? He wouldn't get out. So we're sitting there waiting four or five minutes. I said, Kelly, go over there and knock on his window and ask him to move. Actually, what I did was I put it out to all my kids. Who wants to do this? So I knew my middle daughter, she's shy. She ain't doing it. And she'll go with someone else. But my oldest daughter said, I'll go. So she goes over there. Roll window down, please. She's 15 now. I think she was 14 at the time. We're trying to, and she walks over. The guy don't move. So I said, Kelly, go back. She says, okay. She walks over. Can you move? The guy moved. That's how God is with you and me. Hey, hey, hey. You know what I'm saying? Hey, go over there and ask that guy to give you that whole building for free so you can have church in it. Okay. Hey, can I have this whole building for free? Are you crazy, fool? Get out of here. All right, whatever. Yeah, you better get saved, man, and go walk away. So God is asking you, can you go, can you tell her I love her? Oh, no, God, man. You know, that's going to be awkward. I don't want you. And they're probably going to laugh at me. Why are you going to put me in that situation? You don't know that. Just go do it. And you say no because it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be easy. You're scared it won't work. You know what the Bible says? It says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, the Lord's mercies were not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. God's not a liar. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to use you. You have to step out by faith. And when you step out by faith, it can be scary. It can be nerve-ending. That's okay, though. Don't think, well, I'm just going to do it because it's easy. You know, they're wondering if your generation, y'all young people in here, and I'm kind of part of your generation partly. I got like one toe in your generation and nine toes in the other one. Because y'all are so used to everything now. You sit home, you got your chair, your remote, your Palm Pilot, your email, your satellite dish, your telephone, your Domino's pizza on the way, everything, chick, 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 remote, everything now, baby, now, baby, now. Oh, it takes too long, get another email. Get, you know, it's like you don't have the concept of old school people that work. You want everything now. $1 million now. Entrepreneur, I want a business now. Million, get a car now, take a vacation now. Are you going to be the type of people that say, God, I want to go on your timetable. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to sacrifice my life. I'm not going to worry about, is it too easy? I'm not going to worry about, will I fail? I'm not going to worry about, what are people going to think? I'm just going to do what you say. Let me tell you something. 100% of the Muslims that are doing this stuff, they ain't even dealing with these issues. They ain't even, fear? What's that mean? It's not going to be fun? This is a life and death issue to them. This is a life and death issue to them. That's why they're successful in what they do, because their life doesn't matter. All that matters is the mission. As Christians, our lives shouldn't matter. All that should matter is the mission, what God has called us to do. You're going to die anyway. Don't you know that? Does anybody not know that? Maybe I skipped that part. You're going to die anyway. So it's time to say, Lord, I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to die for you. The chaplain of the police, the fire department in New York City, died ministering to another fireman. Man, what a way to die, serving God. You want to die serving God, whether it's next week or 40 years from now. But you know what? That's not why Jonah didn't do what he did. That's not why Jonah ran from God. Not because he didn't think God was going to be faithful. Not because he didn't think it was fun. Not because he feared it wouldn't happen. It was even worse than that. Look at verse 4. Verse 5. The people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. Sackcloth is a symbol of repentance and mourning. Verse 6, the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout all Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Even the animals had to go on a fast. I mean, Lassie couldn't eat any Alpo. Lassie said, what did I do? I'm just being Lassie, making movies over here, saving kids out of the pond. Why are you going to take me my Alpo away? It said in verse 8, let not man nor beast, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let every man turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Remember we said they were very violent people. Verse 9, who can tell if God will relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? And look what happened. God saw their works, that they turned from their ways, their evil way, and relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he didn't do it. Jonah, go tell him. Oh, no, I don't want to go. Blah, 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 blah. Jonah, go tell him. All right, I'll go. In 40 days, y'all going to die if you don't repent. It took Jonah twice, at least from this story. God told him twice. As soon as he told the heathen, first time, they repented. First time. My father got saved in October. I had witnessed to that dude over and over and over and over again. I flew him out here to go to Promise Keepers, him, my son, and me. It was a father-son thing, so it was three generations. He's going to get saved. He didn't get saved. I was so mad. I was crying. I was so upset, brokenhearted, and mad at the same time. Why didn't dude get saved? And I was even in the thing. Dude's sharing the gospel. I'm sitting next to him. Are you going to get saved right now? He starts laughing. Nah, nah. I'm like, flew you out here for nothing. So he doesn't get saved. So 3 days later, we're walking around Lake Miramar, just walking. I'm thinking, you know, he's got to leave the next day to go on a plane back to Florida. I'm thinking, man, this dude's got to get saved. So I said, Dad, what's it going to take for you to get saved? What's up with you getting saved? I was so, And he goes, well, what about this? And I go, well, this about that. He goes, I said, what else? And not like that, but inside I was like that. He goes, well, let's do it right now. So I said, okay, right there, there's a bench. Let's sit down right now. It was at the lake, and it was, you know, Animal Planet Discovery Channel atmosphere. Right out there by the lake, all the animals, we prayed, he got saved, he was all, I'm fired up. And I said to him, what happened? I mean, why didn't you do it? Here's what he said. Well, the last time I was here, I was waiting for you to do an altar call, but you didn't do it. And I would have come forward. And I was like, oh. Now, granted, he had told me no 15 times before that, but still, that's what he said. There are people waiting for you to ask them. They're just waiting. They're like, when they see you, they're like, oh, they didn't ask me. And they see you again. Oh, man, yeah. I'm going to go to hell. I hope they ask me. Then they see you again. You come from church. Oh, I went to church. It was so good. Oh, and then when they come, you be quiet. I wonder why they won't tell me. They don't know what to say. They're waiting for you to ask them. Jonah went to the people. He preached. They repent. Imagine Saddam Hussein, Saddam, and all Iraq repenting and following Jesus. Hey, they'll be like this. Look what happened. But that's not why. Whoa. That's not why he didn't go. It's worse. Look what it says in verse 1, chapter 4. It says in chapter 4. That's what you say when you poke. Chapter 4, it says, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry that God forgave them. What? What? What's he tripping on? Look what it says. It says in verse 2, he prayed to the Lord and said, oh, Lord. That's what he said. Oh, Lord. Was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled to Tarshish because I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents relents from doing harm. I know you. God, I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to forgive him. That's what he's saying. Man, that's what he's saying. Look what it says. He was angry. Why do people get angry? Because they don't get their way. He didn't want them to be forgiven. Look what it says in verse 3. Therefore, O Lord, please take my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? You didn't know Jonah was a little selfish little brat there. He wanted to die. You know one of the reasons people don't pray to God? People don't follow God because they're scared God may do what he says. Let me tell you something. I never pray God to humble me. I don't pray that prayer. No. You never want to say, dear God, blank, me. You don't want to put that word in there because he will do it. He will do it. And it's only God's job to humble people. It's not our job. I do pray, God, I want to be holy. I pray the positive. I want to be holy. I want to seek you. I want to have passion. And the humbleness will be dealt with. But I don't want to ever pray negative vibe from God because I don't want it. I want the positive. Some of y'all don't pray to be holy because you're scared that God may do it. Dear God, I want to be holy. I want to be holy. Dear God, purify my mind. Purify my heart. Dear God, please give me holy for it. You don't want it. Why? Because you got your little McNasties over here you still want to play with. You know what I'm talking about.
Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you little do dirty over here, you little McNasty, you little McNugget nasty over here, you little McChicken nasty over here. You know, all this little stuff you want to keep, you want to, hey, I just got my little few in this pocket, a little few in this pocket. I'm going to go to church now. But when I get home, I still want to sin. You're scared God may make you holy roller. You're scared if you pray, you may want to pray more. You're scared God may ask you to pray for somebody in public in the mall when regular people are walking by. You know, you're scared that, hey, you might, God may ask you to carry your Bible to work. Oh, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? People would know you're a Christian. Oh, my gosh. That's just totally rad. You're scared. God, you're scared to say this. Dear God, use me. I want to be committed. A young girl came to me after church last service, 14, has had a terrible upbringing, not her fault, family messed up, blah, 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 blah. And she was shaken. She says, I came forward because I want to make a commitment to God. And I'm shaken because I got to now keep it. I know it's going to be hard, but I got to keep it. That's right. You got to keep it. This ain't a joke. Now, a lot of us have been taking it for a joke, but it ain't a joke. Let me tell you something. The Muslims ain't joking. The Muslims, they ain't joking. They are going to kill more Americans. They don't care. They don't care how they do it, and there's no rules. They're not joking. You better not be joking about your God. Because God's like, hey, I want to use people. Look what it says. This story is even better. It says in verse 4, the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there he made a shelter for himself and sat under the shade till he might see what would become of the city. He's sitting on the hill waiting for God to burn it up. And the Lord's God prepared. Now, if you have a Bible, whatever Bible you have, right after the word God, it'll say prepared or provided. Underline that word because he's going to do it three times. God is going to prepare or provide three things. And these three things are going to help us understand not only the heart of God, but the heart of Jonah, the selfish heart of Jonah. It says, the Lord prepared, underline that word, or provide, a plant. First one was a plant, and he made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head and deliver him from the misery of the heat. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared, underline that word, a worm. So you got a plant and then a worm. So you got Dennis Rodman right there, and he prepared, and it damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared, third time, or provided, a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it's better for me to die than to live. Think about this. The brother's sitting there, man, I hope God burns them up. The plant comes, oh, shade. The worm comes, eats the plant. Plant dies. He's hot. Oh, man, it's hot. I want to die. Shut up. Yeah, you ever remember when you were a kid? Okay, you can't have ice cream. Go to bed. Oh, I'm running away. I hate my life. My daughter's a drama queen, and one time I said, girlfriend, you better be doing a little dance because I know you ain't stomping in my house. I want to die. Come on. Over a plant. Look what God said. Therefore, God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it's right for me to be angry even to death. Please, Jonah. The Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Should I not have pity on Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons or children who cannot discern their right hand from their left, and much livestock? He prepared the plant, prepared the worm, prepared the wind, just to prepare Jonah to see that he was being a selfish baby. He said, Jonah, why are you so concerned about something that has absolutely no meaning in the kingdom of God? Let me tell you something. God's heart is that all those Muslims, Bin Laden and all his boys, get saved. Get saved. You can want revenge, you can want them dead, and let me tell you something, if the military, the government chooses to do that, we support them. We support our government, our ruling authority, it's in the Bible. But God's heart is that they be saved. And if they repent, he would forgive them. That's God's heart. Yet Jonah, oh, it's not fair, God. They need to burn up. He's like, excuse me? Let me tell you something, Jonah, that's not how I think. That's not how God thinks. God has a heart, not only for y'all and me to be saved, but y'all and me to be committed to him, and then y'all and me to be used to get someone else saved. That is God's heart. And when God calls you to do something, it is not your prerogative to say, I agree, I don't want to do it. Now, you have the freedom, but you're wrong. Matter of fact, I was watching a show today. I was so mad. It was a Muslim cleric, a rabbi, and a Catholic priest. It was on Talk Back Live on CNN. Anybody see that show? And they're talking about, well, you know, we all worship the same God and all of God. I said, look, whoa. No, you don't. Allah is the moon god. That's who Allah is. And you've seen this crescent moon on their symbol. That's the god that worshiped the moon. His wife is the sun god. That's fact. It's not the same. Don't be deceived. It's the same. There is no similarity. And these guys are on the show talking about, you know, one of the guys says, it is okay to be angry with God. Excuse me? God is not wrong? God is not, where's the devil in all this? Where's human responsibility in all this? God is not wrong? And this rabbi said, well, you could be angry at God and get angry at God and yell at God. I said, hey, brother, you can wave your fist at God. You can wave your fist at God. I'm going to say, God, please show me. Have mercy on me. Let me tell you something. Don't get angry at God. God ain't wrong. Your attitude's wrong. When God calls you to do something, yes, sir. Them brothers pray 5 times a day. They pray 5 times per day. They are in war. They are coming after us. They have no other life except to serve Allah. Who are you serving? You worrying about the plants of your life that worms are eating up? Your money, your future, your relationships, your this, all that stuff's going to burn up. All that stuff is going to burn. God says, listen, Jonah, stop worrying about stuff that don't concern you. Worry about what I want you to do. When you wake up every day, you need to wake up every day and say, God, and this is where we held hands today. It's a decision you got to make. God, I am ready to be committed and serve you. Or, no, I'm going to do it on my terms. But let me tell you something. The trying times that are ahead of us, the uncertain times that are ahead of us will eat you alive if you don't have Christ. It will eat you alive. You will worry yourself into suicide. You will worry yourself into drinking. You will worry yourself into drugs. You will worry yourself into depression. Because let me tell you something. Without Christ, you are going to lose. And now I'm talking to most of y'all in here are saved. I'm not talking about just because you're saved, you got to hold on to the word. And let me tell you something. I include myself in this. I include myself in this. Because I have to represent him. And all week long, I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? What are people, you know, what issues are people bringing to church Sunday? What fears are they going to bring to church? What do you want? How do you want me to represent you? Because people coming in with answers, with questions, fears. What's happening? Is this the end of the world? You know, what's going on? Hey, let me tell you something. Here's what's happening. The world's getting ready to get turned upside down. It already has. You need to accept Christ. You need to trust Christ. You need to walk with Christ, and you need to be about Christ's business. That's the answer to the day you die. It's never going to change. We'll study end times. We'll look at stuff. But let me tell you something. That stuff is not a perfect science.
Are we going to be raptured before the tribulation? Are we going to be raptured after the tribulation?
Hey, man, that stuff ain't a perfect science. I know what I believe, but it ain't a perfect science. There's a bunch of educated people more educated than me that believe so the opposite.
I know this, though. Jesus is on the throne, and he wants to know who's committed. That's, I know that. And I know whoever's he committed, that the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of anybody who's loyal. That's all I know. I know that. And so from this day forward, your world has to change. From this day forward, your life, your life can never be the same. It's over. It's over playing games. Doesn't mean you're not going to be happy. Doesn't mean you're not going to have fun. It doesn't mean you can't prosper financially. It doesn't mean any of that. But it means that it's all going to be based on faith in Jesus Christ. And if he wants to move it over here, change it over here, take it from you, borrow it for a little while, it doesn't matter. It's fun. It's okay. Let me tell you something. When you have no fears and nothing to lose, you have total peace. But when you start holding on to stuff, here's how some people come to church. Can't go to church. Taking all my stuff. He wants me to go do Bible study. Okay, I got to take all the Bible study. He wants you to go walk by faith. Oh, man, it's so heavy. Nah, you know, brother, you can follow God if you just do that. But what's going to happen? It'll be there when you get back. Maybe. God will go, whoop, and when you get back, it may be this big or maybe this big. But you know what? It's easier for God to do that if you let go. Because if he's got to take it out of your hands, which he will get it, he's going to get it. And if you don't believe me, here's one of those pray and pay situations. Pray, God, you can't take it. Then pay attention. That's so funny. You say, God, when I first started preaching, first time, I used to hold the pulpit like this. I wouldn't lift my hand because it was like security. And I said, okay, God, one day I'm going to grow and have faith where I can walk over there. So I started little by little. I would just raise one hand. Then he said, let go of both hands. I was like, oh, Jesus, walk over there. I was like, okay. Then he said, okay, let go of both hands and roll on the ground. I don't need to. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to let go. Be able to walk over here, talk to these people, say something that might offend this person. It might. The gospel's offensive. It is. Christians are bigots because they think they have the only religion. Jesus is the only way. He is. If people take that way, that's just the way they got to take it. It's the way it is. You go over here. You preach over here. You go over here. You give something. You give of your money. Wow. Felt kind of good. God blesses you with more money. He blesses you with opportunity. Then you give more away. You go over here and you encourage this person. You go over here and you forgive this person. You go over here and you ask for forgiveness from this person. You go over here and you help these people. And you come back and then you go, that's not that important anymore. That happens every day. But you have to make a decision. Jesus, I'm ready to be committed. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, dear God, nobody knows what the future holds, but we all know and acknowledge who holds the future. Jesus, we know by the signs of the times, the seasons, at least back east when the leaves turn brown, that fall is coming. Our fall is here and winter's coming. We also know that in the last days there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Never have there ever been a time in our history when there's been rumors of such wars worldwide. The potential of such catastrophic disaster worldwide. We don't know the hour or the day,
But we do know today we are one step closer than yesterday. And we do know your invitation for us to be committed to you has never changed. You say the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, and you are looking, searching high and low for somebody who would be loyal, who would pray, read their Bible, abstain from sin, seek you with their whole heart. Dear God, I pray that I, as a pastor, will represent that to you, for you, to these people righteously every day. I pray that when I die, I would hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, I pray everybody hearing my voice would in their heart desire the same thing, to be faithful and to be used, and not to die and say, I wish I could have, should have, but that I saw God move in my life. I saw God use me. May we all desire that. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you would like to pray for salvation, and many of you did in the beginning, I want you to pray again. If you raised your hand in the beginning because you asked Christ to be your Savior, please pray this again with me. But if you would like to pray because, you know what, you came here scared, you came here fearful, you came here angry, but now you're ready to walk out of here committed, ready to do whatever God calls you to do with no excuses, no more excuses, no more reasons for saying no to God. Pray this prayer with me. Pray, dear God, yes, I'm a sinner. Jesus died and rose from the dead to give me a new life, an abundant life, eternal life. I accept him as my Savior, my Lord, my Master. Dear Jesus, I surrender. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take over my life. I surrender. Thank you, Jesus. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you pray wherever you're at, downstairs, in any of the overflow rooms, the lobby, here in the sanctuary, if you prayed that prayer right now as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, just stand to your feet and acknowledge Christ in your life. If you prayed in the beginning of the service and raised your hand, we're talking to you. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Stand up in the lobby, please. Stand up downstairs. We're with you there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. This is the time and the hour and the place to surrender your life to Jesus. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Very good. Stay standing, please. In the lobby. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. Congratulations. Good decision. Anybody else? Anybody else? Stand to your feet. Anybody in the lobby? God has spoken to you. Don't worry who's to your left. Don't worry about who's sitting around you. Stand to your feet. Now we're going to ask all you people who are standing to do one more thing. We want to help you. We want to pray with you, pray for you, give you something. I'm going to have you right now as we welcome you to the family of God to step out of your seat and come down here to the altar right now. Let's give them a hand. Come on. Come on down here. Come shake my hand. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right there. Stay right there. God bless you. Stay right there. God bless you. 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 Come on out of the lobby. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, let's give him a hand. Come on. Let's shake my hand. God bless you. 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 Amen. Amen. Come on. Let's give him a hand. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. All right. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. A young lady, did I tell you about this card? No. A young lady got saved at our crusade at the Coors Amphitheater on July 4th. She has a niece or a cousin, 14, named April. She was not saved. She ended up giving her a book that we're going to give you now. It's called 21 Jump Start. And the young girl took the book, read the whole book, and journaled in the book. And shortly after that, she was killed in a car accident. Now, if you could zoom in on that picture. Just a little sweetie pie, 14. And in her, at her funeral, they had this in her, in this program. It says, "We wish to share with you, in her own handwriting, April's summary of one of her readings from 21 Jumpstart by Miles McPherson, recognizing the authority of God's plan." It says, "In Scripture, it was not yet Jesus' time. No one could disrupt God's plan. No man on earth could have changed it. Jesus didn't live according to what the world said would happen, but he lived according to God's plan." We pray by faith that this girl's in heaven. But she got saved because someone was faithful enough to give her a book, hoping she'd read it and get saved. She read it, read the whole book. Her mother made her write her report on the book, and she died. She's 14 years old. She was 14. This is just, what's the date on here? August 17th. A month ago. You never know. You never know when someone's going to die. You never know what someone's going to say when you witness to them. If you didn't learn anything from that bombing, it's a life and death issue. It's life and death. This is life and death. Hopefully now we realize that tomorrow is not promised. Today's not promised. Every day I'm waking up since the bomb and I turn the TV on, wonder if anything else happened. Every day I go home, I check, how my, are the kids okay? You just, another day, we made it. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And we can choose whether we are going to allow this to bring us closer to each other as a family, as a church, and closer to God. Or we could choose to whine and complain and get mad and get angry, which is going to accomplish nothing. All of y'all, God now has forgiven you of all your sin. You have a responsibility. Go tell somebody. You don't even have to know anything about this book. Just say, hey, I went to this place, and this crazy man was, he had a, this peach shirt on. He looked, you know, whatever, and he was talking loud, and you know what? God spoke to me. You need to come. Can you please come? I feel better. Okay. And let them come and be down here next week. Why not? We'll be here. Hopefully we'll be here. And all of y'all, be thinking, who are you going to bring? We're going to reach San Diego. That's what I'm going to do. If you don't like that, then, you know, maybe there's another church that they do something else. That's fine. But you need to know that's what we're going to do. We're going to go after this county. And all y'all live everywhere. And some of y'all go to other churches. That's fine. Get them fired up. People need Jesus. They don't need religion. They need Jesus Christ. He's the only one that died and rose from the dead. No one else did. No one else did. So let's pray for these people. Lord, we just pray for all these people. We thank you for them. We thank you so much for their faith to get up out of their seat and walk down here. And Lord, we pray that we would be committed, that we would reevaluate our life, we would identify what you want us to do and go do it with no excuses, that we walk by faith. The quicker we walk by faith, the quicker we move, the quicker we can see you move, the quicker we can see miracles in our life. Thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what we're going to do. All you people down here, there's people over here outside these doors on both sides that want to pray for you. In a minute, we're going to have you walk that way. If any of y'all want prayer, talk to somebody. Just come up, make your way to the front. Let's give them a hand as they walk. Walk that way and walk that way. Just follow the crowd. Amen. Come on. Amen. God bless you. See you next week. God bless you. God bless you.